Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 13, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, No Point and No Sincerity in Remorse. It seems as though we are in the age of remorse. Police officers in America are kneeling before black Americans, Emmanuel Macron acknowledged his country's use of torture in the Algerian War, and more recently, admitted France's guilt for Rwanda's genocide. Also recently, Germany officially recognizes colonial-era Namibia genocide, and a few years ago, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau apologized for abuse and profound cultural loss at Indigenous schools. These apologies pamper people's egos but yield no positive results. If anything, it will, and is already creating a distortion toward the other extreme. Even worse, the financial compensation that is offered as recompense will only exacerbate the problems of the victim nations. It will ruin their way of life without giving them a sustainable alternative. If we want to help struggling countries, and we should want it because they are part of the family of nations, we should invest in education for humanism, for solidarity, for mutual responsibility. This is the way to build prosperous nations, and not by simply inundating them in money. The apartheid regime in South Africa was wrong, unjust, and racist, and should have been revoked, as it finally was. However, because it happened without first educating the liberated people, the results were horrendous. At the end of the apartheid, the rand, South Africa's currency, was just over 3.5 per one's dollar. By 2018, the exchange rate was 13.2 rands per dollar. Likewise, the GDP per capita plummeted from $13,000 US at the end of the apartheid regime to $4,100 US in 2018. Even for the oppressors, an apology is no solution. It can never be a sincere apology since the ego will never admit that it did something wrong, so if people are offering apologies for past wrongs, they are insincere, and insincerity prevents real correction. Also, when countries seek money as recompense, and nothing more, it is not a request with the benefit of the population in mind. The only way to raise people from their current level to a higher one is education. And by education, I mean first and foremost education to humanism, to solidarity and mutual responsibility. Once a country achieves this, everything else will fall into place. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what will be next after the coronavirus? At some point, we will recover from the coronavirus. However, we can definitely expect another crisis to hit humanity soon afterward. Whether it will be another strand of the coronavirus, or another pandemic entirely, or some other crisis, the reason I am saying that we can expect more global-scale crises is because it is part and parcel of nature's way of raising us. When we understand how nature guides us to a defined goal, how nature reveals toward us on the way to that goal, and what we are required to change in order to balance with nature, then we can understand blows such as the COVID pandemic as essential parts of nature's plan. Nature sends us blows in waves, one at a time, because its goal toward us is to raise us to a higher degree of human development, one that is balanced with nature. It can be likened to loving parents who sometimes crack down on their children in order to teach them a lesson, and expect a certain change in the children's attitude or behavior as a result. After inflicting a blow, nature usually gives us time to contemplate it and implement the change that it expects of us. The coronavirus is thus one blow in a series, and we can expect each successive blow to be harsher than its predecessors if we fail to step up to the change that nature expects of us. Unique to the current pandemic is its global nature. It affects everyone around the world in a wide variety of ways, whether medically, economically, socially and/or psychologically, but all in all, nature sends us all a reminder that it is bigger than us, and moreover, that we are all interdependent. By illuminating our global interdependence so clearly, we would be wise to think about how we should best relate to our interdependence, that we help, support and encourage each other, and consider others' needs as preciously as we relate to our own. This is the lesson that nature wants to teach us, and if we fail to make a shift in our attitudes to each other so that we realize our interdependence more positively, then we can expect more and more global scale crises to bring us to such a determination. Similar to how cells in the human body operate in order to serve the whole body's health above their own individual needs, likewise through global scale crises, nature aims to show us that we are all parts of a single global system. We would thus be wise to start thinking of humanity as such, lovingly, with care, like how we think about anyone who is precious and important to us. Key to this challenge is that we have nothing to do with our hands and legs. It all points to a change in our attitudes to each other. If we develop an atmosphere of mutual care and consideration that dwells among humanity, then we will see how such an attitude shift brings about myriad positive changes in our lives, from stopping further pandemics and other global scale crises, to vast improvements of relations on personal and social scales, and their byproducts, which include more happiness and confidence, better health, and lives that become filled with meaning and abundance. Based on the writer's meeting with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and a writing team on June 8, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. For the conclusion of the convention. I think that the past convention was very successful, much better than all the previous ones. Let us move forward, step by step, from convention to convention, strengthening our connection more and more so that the Creator will be revealed in it. The lessons of the convention were devoted to the most basic topics, which serve as guiding milestones for our progress. In addition, we got used to being together, learning together, getting to know each other, and began to get used to spiritual concepts. We can be proud of our success because we are already studying topics that are not clear to the average person. Our group has made a lot of progress over the past year, and I am very happy about it and proud of my students. I only ask you not to scatter yourself to the sides, but stick to the exact direction and find out more and more deeply the topics covered in the lessons. I am very grateful to all the participants of the convention. You are not just students to me, you are my friends on the spiritual path, parts of my heart. Thanks to you, I have the opportunity to explain the science of Kabbalah to the whole world, to convey it to every person, and to please the Creator together with you. I bow low to you and thank you. I wish you all health, happiness, success in your work and in your family, and especially success in our connection and between us and the Creator. Thank you. From the World Kabbalah Convention from 10 to 1 June 6, 2021, Connecting into a Single 10, Lesson 6. The work of the Creator is done by the Creator. We only need to ask and the upper light will come from above, which will sort out our qualities, divide us into 10 sephirot, arrange everything and connect us. The light will do everything, just let it work. We must reveal that we need its help. We are engaged in the work that is called the work of the Creator, that is, it is performed by the Creator. So let him work, don't try to work instead of him. After all, we cannot know how the 10 is divided into 10 sephirot in order to connect them correctly. On the contrary, the Creator only wants us to ask him, and he will realize everything with his upper force. He is only waiting for our request to do everything, and the simplest and most trusting way is when we do not know or understand anything except that he is our Creator and we ask him to help us. From the World Kabbalah Convention from 10 to 1 June 6, 2021, Connecting into a Single 10, Lesson 6. My new article on LinkedIn, it is the turn for Jews in America. After a decade in Silicon Valley in the United States, Maya Greenberg returned for a short homeland visit to Israel. Maya is a longtime student and active in spreading the wisdom of Kabbalah, someone who helped me a lot in organizing one of the lecture tours I gave across America in 2014 to warn about widespread anti-Semitism. Today, mid-2021, I no longer have to warn of the impending danger of hatred against Jews. It is rampant everywhere, from colleges across the US, to social media. The voices of hatred toward the Jewish state and toward Jews in general resonate loudly and hostilely. Like many Israelis living in America, Maya also learned that as soon as Americans hear in the news or read about another Israeli military operation, it immediately ignites a heated debate about the role and tactics of the Jewish state and its right to self-defense. Maya often reluctantly stands at the forefront of information, becoming an ambassador who feels obligated to answer every question that arises. We talked this morning, and I advised her, and all Israelis in America, to divide their answer into two parts: what they should answer to those around them, and what they should answer to themselves. The message to each part is completely different. What the Israelis try to say and explain to the Americans will not really give them a satisfying answer. Maybe at best it will only soften their perception until the next controversy. On the other hand, what the Israelis will say to themselves should be a scrutiny of the highest importance, because the fundamental change that the dire situation requires stems from internalization of the bond between the Israelis and the Jews in general. God forbid, I do not belittle anyone who is not a Jew. Their role is simply different: to awaken Jews to unite. Therefore, the real work to change the current predicaments lies on Jewish shoulders. As Balhar Sulam, the greatest Kabbalist of the 20th century, wrote, "Bear in mind that in everything there is internality and externality. In the world in general, Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, are considered the internality of the world, and the 70 nations are considered the externality of the world." Introduction to the Book of Zohar. In other words, all of humanity is connected in one system of communication, in which Israel is the innermost part, the essence. The people of Israel are like a small world that reflects all of humanity within it. Because of this, Israel is responsible for everything that happens in the world, for better or worse. As Jews, it surprises us, over and over again, that subconsciously the world feels more than we do that the key to all of humanity's problems is in our hands. This fact is the origin of the natural, instinctive hatred toward the Jews and the cause for the great pressure on Israel to accept its responsibility to fulfill its role. The fate of the world will be decided by Israel. If we, Jews, were fully aware of our internal function within the universal network of communication, if we would rise above our egoistic nature, then humanity would also rise to the top of its potential and flourish over separation and hatred. Then the nations of the world would honor Israel, as it is written, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my standard to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." Isaiah 49, 22. On the other hand, if the Jews in America, locals or Israeli expatriates, who are the focus of hatred, abandon their role and let their hearts be washed away by the currents of life and become indifferent to their role to unite, then the pressure of anti-Semitism will increase, the torments will intensify, and the next blow will be only a matter of time. Maya paled at what I said. But unfortunately, just as in every period throughout history, bloodshed and bloody events have knocked on the door of Jewish communities around the world, now it is America's turn. The Jews in America feel the future is uncertain, and there is a reason for that. They are disconnected from their roots, self-centered, only concerned about where to live in peace and comfort under the radar, even trying to shake off their link to Israel. Their connection to Judaism is very often relegated to making three visits to the synagogue per year, showing off their expensive menorah at home, and paying their annual dues to their Jewish congregation. The very detachment from the spirit of unity among Jews leads me to expect a worrisome future for Jews in America, a situation that could deteriorate as in those dark days in Nazi Germany where soldiers would roam the streets looking for Jews to pick up and haul to a train station and from there to a local concentration camp. I expressed this concern at the annual conference of the Israel-American Council, IAC, which was celebrated in Washington, D.C. in 2014. There, too, I tried to explain the many similarities between the conditions that motivated Germany to carry out the Holocaust and the current situation in the United States, which pose a great danger to Jews. I repeat my concerns again here and now. Unlike during the Holocaust, American Jews still have a chance to be saved. Their unity would eliminate all evil and the anti-Semitic storm would subside. Both American Jews and Israelis in America must understand the magnitude of the danger and solidify their connection as a united people who share the feeling of being one society in which a unique force binds them together. American Jews and Israelis in America must support each other, be guarantors for each other, because only reciprocity and mutual care will save them from a gloomy and dire fate. It is not too late to start, but the time to start is now. The whole universe is a manifestation of the names of the Creator. Question, it is said, He and His name are one. He is the highest power, the Creator. And what is the name? Answer, His name is the state between us, in which the Creator will manifest Himself. It is called a name because in this way we begin to understand and feel Him. In the same way as you understand a person when you talk about him, call him by name. After all, you can feel him. Question, every time we build a certain connection, does the Creator manifest and we give him that name? Answer, yes. Therefore, we say, so and so, so and so, that is, we give him different names. This is why it is said that the Creator has many names. Practically the entire universe is just the names of the Creator, his manifestations. Question, so, all the words in the Torah are his names. Is the name a manifestation of the Creator in the connection between us? Answer, everything that is written in the Torah is a manifestation of some feelings and properties between people, the purpose of which is to achieve a correct, good relationship with each other. Then they feel, they manifest the Creator between themselves, and write about it. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. He and His name are one, May 24, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, American Jewry and Jewish Israelis in America, Worlds Apart. An Israeli student of mine, who has been living in Silicon Valley for quite some time, described the situation between American Jews and Jewish Israelis living in the US, in the following words. As an Israeli, I feel that I have no connection to American Jews. I am in a community of Israelis, we speak Hebrew, live the Israeli culture, the news in Israel. And it feels like a completely different nation. I think it is an accurate depiction. These are two different nations with a similar history and similar names, but they have grown so distant that they are worlds apart. In fact, this is how it should be. We came from the various nations that occupied ancient Babylon and joined into a single nation when we agreed with Abraham's teaching that mercy and friendship were the values to live by. Later, under Moses, we pledged to unite as one man with one heart. We fought to maintain and solidify our unity for centuries, but eventually, we succumbed to the hatred that prevailed among us, before we first came to Abraham, and this is where we stand today. While we were united, the nations saw that peace was possible, that there could even be love among sworn enemies, and Israel became a role model nation, a pilot society, a miniature implementation of world peace. Later, when we failed the whole world, and it hates us for it. Now, it waits for us to reinstate the covenant between us and become a role model nation once again. It won't forgive us for not trying, and it won't forget our debt to humanity. It doesn't care that American Jews hate Israelis who come to live there. If there is no unity among Jews, the world hates them, since they dim all hope of peace and unity. If they unite, they are what they were meant to be, a light unto nations, and the world gives them its full support. The Jewish nation must bring about shalom, peace, from the word shlemut, wholeness, the wholeness of all of humanity above all differences. Anti-Semitism is the world's way of telling us off, admonishing us for not trying to unite. If Jews in America, from every faction and denomination, bridge the rifts between them, their future will be bright and beautiful. If they do not, they can already see where this is going. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are some great short jokes? A cannibal is having trouble sleeping. He turns in his bed and sighs. His wife pokes him and asks, "Why aren't you sleeping?" The cannibal sighs and responds, "I can't stop thinking about why we're alive. What is the meaning of our existence here?" His wife responds, reproachfully, "How many times have I told you, don't eat Kabbalists?" Written, edited by students of Kabbalists Dr. Michael Leitman. The Magic Wand, Contact with the Creator. You can open the Book of Zohar on any page and find practically the same things as on the other pages. It always speaks about one thing, how to make contact with the Creator. In our world we have no other problem but to connect with this single governing upper force. If I am in contact with the Creator, it means that I know why everything is happening to me, who I am, what my states will be in the future. I am wolf messing for myself. It is as if I had a magic wand or a golden fish, from the tale of the fisherman and the fish. If I have contact with the Creator, I have everything, knowledge, feelings, the present, and the future. No adventures, no suffering, everything is in my hands. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 15. The most important thing. Question: recently professional top managers, cool directors, if they want to leave the company and are looking for a job, prefer not to work somewhere in Google, in Silicon Valley, in Gazprom, they do not need large salaries. They want a quiet job. The leading request for the past 6 months is traveling director of an American brewery. 7,530 responses. He is given a van and travels around the country, tastes the beer of his company in different cities, and talks with residents, "How do you like our beer?" In Alaska, Hawaii. A huge number of requests. And precisely from such directors. Answer: "I want it too. What could be better?" Comment: "In second place, 7,408 applications, is the manager of the royal family's palace in the Emirates. Vice presidents of banks, directors of successful startups apply here. They want to leave and take care of this family." In third place is the pizza eater watching Netflix position. He watches a movie and eats pizza. For comparison, only 200, 300, or 400 requests come for the vacancy of a director in a good company, with a high salary, but here 7,000. That is, people are not looking for a job, but a dream. And although they have everything, they want to hug seals, taste wine, be professional sleepers, explore mattresses, and so on. Please tell me what happened to humanity? Once we wanted to study, get degrees, become directors, make money. My response: why? The awareness of the uselessness of all these stresses. People still go in for sports after all. They climb mountains, arrange some kinds of competition and so on. This will all pass too. The most important question: why? It will kill everything. and humanity will calm down. What will happen? Nothing. Let's just treat each other. Simple, that is, so as not to cause any negative feelings in anyone. Calm. Just get your paycheck and spend the day the way you want. You will have enough time and desire to get used to this world and how to behave in it. Question, that is, the request will disappear, more money, a bigger house, and a pool in the yard? Answer, this will not happen. A person will begin to understand that he must live within his sensations, in movement toward a correct relationship with others, an inner movement. And then occupations, salary, nothing is important to him. If I have such an attitude toward others, I feel that others have the same attitude toward me, this mutual network of forces, kind, between us, I feel, I live in it. This is my job, and this is where I and everyone else exist. We are only developing these mutual sensations of ours. Effortlessly. It should be effortless. This is how I treat others, and others treat me this way, and everything freezes. And only this feeling you perceive. Question, and when you say, defeat our egoism. Rise above egoism? Answer, it's all inside. Calmly only, calmly. Question, is this how calm it will be? I have the feeling all the time that a person must make great efforts. Answer, no, no, nothing. On the contrary, everything. What for? If we treat this correctly, then the upper light, which is in absolute rest, will do everything. Just don't worry. Just don't bother me. The Creator will finish for me. It's that simple. Question, will there be no need for Harvard and Princeton universities? No need to study, higher education, second or third degrees? Answer, no, nothing is needed at all. Comment, humanity has built all this for so long. My response, this is in order to precisely identify your mistakes. Question, where will humanity end up? Answer, with a calm in a mutual balance. And the connection between us, will be revealed in it, complete, calmness. In the silence of these waters, we will come to see the Creator through them. I welcome this movement, which is now beginning to emerge. In the Torah it was formulated thousands of years ago, sit down and do nothing, preferably. Do not do anything. Make it so that from the fact that you do nothing, you have everything. You will see that it is possible. Question, that is, I will have what to eat, what to feed my family with. Answer, to the extent that you need it, you will work. But it will not be work. It will be just an occupation. Question, it is not that I go to work with agony, hate it and go? Answer, you will not run and languish in traffic jams. Nothing like that will happen. Question, this thought will pass, what is enough for me is enough, but I do not need more. Answer, it will happen gradually, but it will be fast. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 20, 2021. Everything is perceived in feelings. The Creator is a quality of the upper world. His main characteristic is the quality of bestowal. We cannot say who he is or what he is. We only speak about the way we perceive him. To the extent that I begin to feel the quality of bestowal, I begin to attain the Creator. In the same way, I cannot say anything about a table, for example. I can say that it appears to me in my feelings as such and such. The same is true about the Creator. Therefore, the Creator is called Bo-Re. Bo, come, that is, somehow change yourself, and Re, see. Bo-Re, come and see. In other words, everything is perceived precisely in our feelings. The wisdom of Kabbalah works in such a way that it forms within us the quality of bestowal, and to the extent that a person already feels it within himself, he begins to feel the Creator. He has new tools, the so-called Kelim, vessels, with which he feels the Creator and the upper world. From CabTV's Spiritual States.